This call is being recorded.
Thank you.
Happy Monday, it's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Is anybody else on the line? I'd like to say good morning.
Good morning, Leticia. This is Pam. How are you doing? Happy Monday.
Good morning, Sister Pam. How are you?
Good morning, it's Susie.
I'm blessed.
Good morning, Sister Yvonne.
Good morning, it's Susie.
Good morning, Sister Susie.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Anybody else on the line? I'd like to say good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, two voices. Say your names one more time.
It's Renee. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Miss Renee. And there was somebody else who joined too. I would like to recognize you. Who was that?
Good morning, Miss Deborah Evans.
Oh, good morning, Miss Deborah Evans. Thanks for joining us. Good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Did anybody else join the line? I'd like to say good morning.
Good morning, Leticia. It's Barbara.
Good morning, Sister Barbara. Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday.
Good morning, Barbara out of Lodi. God bless.
Good morning, family. This is Pam.
Good morning, Sister Pam. Happy Monday to you.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Can anybody else join? I'd like to say good morning. Good morning, good morning. Happy Monday. It's Patricia from Arizona. Is anybody else join the line? I want to say good morning.
Good morning, Saints. It's Sister Veronica. Happy Monday.
Good morning, Sister Veronica. Happy Monday to you, too. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, it's Sister Tracy. Happy Monday.
Good morning, Sister Tracy. Thanks for joining us. It's Leticia from Arizona.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. If anybody else join online, I'd like to say good morning. I'm going to go ahead and get started. Move on to the next segment of the call. Good morning, good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona, and I am your hostess this morning. Thanks for joining us here on Declare Victory. We're a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed too. We hope that you join us daily in May as the new theme is #FearNot. You do not want to miss the teachings, lessons, and the messages that the declarers are preparing as they hear from the Lord for his people on this topic. There are no announcements today, nor will there be any prayer requests submitted on the app. The order of the call today is the declaration will be done by Brother David Water. Praying and leading us in corporate praise will be done by Sister Keda. Then we'll go right into closing comments hosted by the declarer. Again, the declaration will be done by David Water. Praying and leading us in corporate praise will be done by Sister Kedra. Then we'll go right into the closing comments hosted by the declarer. At this time, I ask that you put your phones on mute until instructed to come off. The call is being recorded and we'd like to preserve the integrity of it. I now pass the call to the declarer of the day, Mr. David Water. Have a blessed day.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning, Declare Victory Saints and those who are on the call. Good morning to all of you. I'm not David Woodard. I'm his mother, Pamela, and I will be doing the declaration for him this morning, and he will be taking over for me next Monday. Thank you so much. I'm assuming that was Leticia from Arizona. Thank you for greeting us this morning, and just it's so great to just to hear all of the declarers' voices as you are welcomed into the call this morning. This morning we're going to be focusing on fear not, and let me just open this up in a word of prayer. Father God, I come to you this morning thanking you, God, for this opportunity to be used by you, God. I just pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, God, and that you would allow me to just share what's on my heart this morning, God. Father, that you may receive the glory and praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Like I said, we've been focusing on this month on Fear Not. And so this morning, as I was just kind of looking over the word fear, I'm going to kind of come from it from a different perspective. And looking at over the word fear and some of the scriptures related to Fear Not, much surprise to me in looking over them, many of the scriptures and texts had warnings of anxiety. I want to remind you all to just put your phones on mute. But many of them also kind of focused on anxiety, like being anxious for nothing, or, you know, trusting in God and do not fear, do not worry. And so as I begin to look at worry and fear and anxiety and different things that plague us in this world today, like I said, I kind of want to focus on that this morning. As I was looking at the word fear not, it made me really start thinking about the different phobias that are out there. And oftentimes, you know, when we're dealing with phobias, you know, we really don't understand them or the different fears. And so, like I said, I kind of started looking at this word, fear, and a phobia is just kind of an irrational fear. It comes from the Greek word phobos, which means fear or horror. It's kind of a type of anxiety, and it's interesting because anxiety, like I said, a lot of the scriptures talk about being anxious, not. And surprisingly, there's over 30% of adults who deal with anxiety. Now, in the American Psychiatric Association, they kind of outline a lot of the common phobias, like agoraphobia, which is like a fear of situations or places that trigger helplessness. You know, it's kind of a common fear with adults. There's a social phobia, that are fear that related to social situations. And that's also something that's kind of singled out as a diagnosis that's typically are tailored to adults. Most of the phobias, like I said, are listed in the DSM, which is the Diagnostic American Psychiatric Association. It's that fifth edition. And so what they typically do is they take the prefix that describes the phobia, and then like the word hydro, meaning water, and, you know, that would be hydrophobia, would be the fear of water. And so they typically, that's kind of the way they come about naming phobias. Now, specific phobias are kind of related to fears related to specific fears are deal with your environment, like specific situations like animals, fear of animals, things that are uncomfortable to you, situations that are uncomfortable to you. And these phobias can oftentimes disrupt your life. It can completely wreak havoc. There's over, like I said, over 30% of adults that have these anxiety disorder or these fears. And it's easy to feel alone when you're living with anxiety, because fear is kind of an enemy. It's one of the weapons that the enemy uses. fear overwhelms us. It creates this sense of anxiety or anxiousness. It affects our thinking. It affects our behavior. The way the world is today, with everything that's happening, with the fear of war, the fear of overwhelming situation, the fear of our families, the fear of our financial future, the fear of our safety, and the list kind of goes on. I mean, you see things happening in society all the time, people shooting up churches. And so reality kind of tells us is that, you get anxiety over these situations because it's kind of that fear of the unknown or what if. Recently, I kind of found myself dealing with this fear and anxiety and depression. And as I began to kind of find myself kind of going down this spiral anxiety, it really surprised me because it was kind of like for the first time in my life, I've oftentimes counseled people and worked with people with anxiety or depression. And here I'm now dealing with it. And I was really surprised when my doctor had me, go through this kind of survey of anxieties and depression and, come to realize that, depression was kind of one of the things that highlighted that I was dealing with. And, anxiety and depression looks a lot alike, and all of the things that you go through with things for no apparent reason if you're feeling anxious or depressed. And so, like I said, I found myself dealing with it, and it's not really unusual for someone to suffer with it, but it kind of goes back in line with this fear, and us understanding what the scripture says about fear and how we should handle it. And not all the time, when you're in the midst of going through anxiety or depression or fear or worry, or, irritability or nervousness, or, it's like all of these things that you find yourself going through. Not all the time do you immediately run to the Word of God. Although I have to say that that is what helped me, what has really, truly helped me. Like I said, a lot of the feelings that I went through was this just enormous sense of anxiousness or, feeling unsure of my future, not wanting to leave the house, not wanting to be around people, isolating myself. And so, these are kind of things that we need to, as a body of Christ, need to speak on and share about and let people, know when we're going through situations like this. I called a couple of my friends. I kind of shared with them. Well, I actually didn't call them. They ended up calling me, checking on me. And I ended up sharing with them, what I was dealing with and, tried to schedule time so that I could get out and, spend more time with friends and spend more time with other people so I can literally pull myself out of this feeling and this sense of depression. And like I said, it all kind of goes hand in hand. Anxiety, depression, different fears all go hand in hand. So what I've recently found myself doing, like I said, is really kind of drawing myself to the Word of God and just really reading the Word of God. And as I begin to focus my mind on the Word of God, I found myself not focusing on my situation. not focusing on the anxiety or the depression that I was feeling. And so God kind of began to diminish that anxiety and that gripping fear that I was feeling. It no longer had to be. Now, I'm not gonna lie, I still have it. It's something that I'm more likely going to deal with the rest of my life, and we all do it sometime in our lives. But you know, I have found that when I quiet myself and make a conscious decision to think differently, to choose to not allow fear or anxiety to control me, but I've chosen to guard my heart. I've chosen to guard my mind. I've chosen to, not be afraid and not allow fear to overwhelm me. Like I said, can I ask you to please mute your phone? Somebody is either in their car or something. Please check your phone and make sure that you mute. But like I said, the word tells us not to fear because he's with us. He says not to be dismayed because he's our God and he'll strengthen us and help us. And he'll uphold us with his right hand. He tells us in his word that we shouldn't be anxious about anything. And in every situation, through prayer and supplication, with the thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And, you know, it goes on to say, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And that's in Philippians 4. And, you know, it goes on to tell us to think on these things. And so, and I think that's kind of the key, is that so often we get overwhelmed by what's happening in the news, what's happening on CNN, what's happening, you know, we're seeing these things ever before us. You know, now more than ever, we have at our very fingertips, you know, every information that we, you know, ever can imagine, you know, things that are happening throughout the world, throughout this country. And it's no wonder why, you know, we're not experiencing anxiety or depression. But if we think on the things of God, those things that are good, those things that are trustworthy, those things that are a good report, you know, he'll totally strengthen us and guard us. Like I said, I've been dealing with this, and I found that through really focusing on the word, it's a process, but it has comforted me. I found solace in studying his word. Now, there are several other scriptures as I was going through. Hold on a second, let me pull up some of them. There is in Luke 4:18, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, because he has anointed you to proclaim the good news from the poor. He has sent you to proclaim liberty to the captive and to reclaim the sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed." And so God is calling each of us to, you know, be there for one another, to those who are oppressed, those who are going through anxiety, those who are dealing with depression. There are several scriptures that I came across that talk about not being fearful, not going through depression. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not dismay, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteousness." Philippians 4:6-7, be not anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Okay, that's the one I just read. Let your requests be made known unto God. Psalms 56:3, when I was afraid, I put my trust in you. Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Lord is with us. He gives us his spirit, not of fear or of power, not of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And so it goes on and on. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life nor demons, neither fears of today or fears of tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. And so as I began to just really read these words and just kind of focus on them, it just brought me such comfort. And like I said, I really began to realize that this fear has set in this sense of depression and anxiety within me. And so I found myself, you know, like I said, just really isolating myself. And I began to notice it like almost a year ago, where I literally was, you know, not returning calls to people, not, you know, really, you know, trying to socialize or do anything with even the members of my church. You know, I was just kind of withdrawn. And I think when we isolate ourselves, when we withdraw ourselves like that, it creates a situation where the enemy can come in and begin to mess with our minds and our thoughts. And like I said, as the scripture says, we need to keep our mind on him. We need to be strong and courageous, and don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. But just know that God is with us always, that God is there to really strengthen us. As you begin to study the Word of God and really look at the Word of God, you see time and time again how he was there with so many others throughout the scriptures, you know, with Joshua when they were going through the battles, with Moses as he was delivering the children out of Israel, over and over, you know, different children of God who found themselves in circumstances that overwhelmed them. But yet God was there. God strengthened them. Like I said, just before the children crossed over into the promised land, you know, Joshua was told by God to be strong. You know, he told them a number of times to be strong. You know, and like I said, that was what was happening with me. And over the last week, you know, God has just really had me meditating on these words. And no matter how many times I, you know, tried to, you know, just focus on my own problems, you know, he just really put me back over this whole story of Joshua. You know, I found myself not focusing on what was going on with me. You know, I felt like, you know, I was literally a victim to my circumstances, but God began to show me that I was not a victim, that I was a victor, and that I had victory through him. And like I said, it's going to be a process. I'm not denying that it's not going to be a process. My prayer is that, you know, I will open myself up to, you know, really reaching out to people who will be there for me, who can help me not focus on my circumstances, my health issues, and not to isolate myself. I think so often that's kind of the number one thing we do when you find yourself going through depression, is to just really isolate. If you find yourself ever, you know, feeling depressed, if you find yourself ever feeling anxious, if you find yourself ever feeling this immense fear, you know, I just want to encourage you all on the call to really seek out friends, seek out people in your life who can be there, who can support you, who can help you through it. Like I said, for me, it was kind of, I've talked to people, I've shared with people, I've counseled people who've gone through anxieties and depression. And while I've had moments of it, I've never had just extreme, you know, just found myself extremely being depressed. And like I said, it's just been through the word of God and reaching out to friends and asking them to help me. Because there would just be days when I would just find myself, you know, crying for no reason, or, you know, just really weird, bizarre things. And while some of it is menopause, I'm sure, but, you know, a lot of it is just, like I said, that anxiety, that depression. And I was really surprised how they kind of go hand in hand, and how a lot of symptoms of depression mimic symptoms of anxiety, and they kind of go hand in hand in terms of, you know, being diagnosed or trying to figure out what's happening. But, you know, I just really want to encourage you, like the Word of God says, you know, be anxious for nothing, you know, because ultimately He is with us. He is the one who can strengthen us. And even in the midst of what we go through, when we have no strength on our own, He is our strength. His power is made perfect. You know, He's the one who can ultimately give us His strength. In the book of Numbers, like I was saying, with Joshua and Caleb, you know, they saw the land that God wanted to give them, and they saw the people who were bigger and stronger, and they began to, the others who were with them became fearful, but they knew that they could take over because God was with them. And so I just want to encourage you all on the call that whatever you're going through, whatever fears you might have, whatever anxieties or depression you might be going through, don't look at the situation, but to see things through the eyes of God and know that He can give you the strength, and He can give you the courage, and He can help you face your deepest fears, your deepest anxieties, your deepest depression. He can give you that strength. He's doing it for me. Like I said, I'm still going through it, but He's doing it for me. And each day I feel stronger and stronger. Each day he's constantly, you know, surrounding me by people who are there for me. You know, out of the blue, my son came and was here for about a week with me or more. And, you know, it's like he just knew that I needed that. And so, you know, I just know the power of God, and that He will be there with you. He's there for me. He will keep you strong in spite of what you might be going through or what you might be feeling. He can definitely be your strength. So I just want to encourage you all to be open to what the Word of God tells you, be open to sharing, and not holding your thoughts and fears and anxieties to yourself, but being real and genuine and sharing them with others, because in doing that, you find healing. I love you all to life as I pass the call.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, Heavenly Father. We thank You for another day, and I promise, Lord God, we thank You for giving us the strength to rise and awaken this morning, Lord God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the declaration that was set before us, Lord God. We thank You that You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Heavenly Father, I lift up every family member represented on this call this morning, Lord God. Continue to bless them, Lord God, and put things in them, Heavenly Father, so that you could get the glory. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you for churches, Lord God, and pastors and leaders, Lord God. Everything that they pour out into the flock that you assign them to, Lord God, fill them back up. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the health and the beauty of our children, Lord God. Continue to bless them, Lord God. You teach us in your word that children are a blessing from you, Heavenly Father, and help us to be good stewards, Lord God, over what you have given us. Lord God, I thank you for this prayer call, Lord God. I thank you for the visionary of this call. I thank you for Deion Jackson. I call her name out, Heavenly Father, and I thank you that she operates in her gift, Lord God, to just let people know that she is saved and that she loves you because of her actions. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you for food and shelter, Lord God, and for employment, Heavenly Father, and for everything that you're doing in our lives, Lord God. I ask that you please continue to work in our life and let us not have any question, doubt, or misunderstanding, because we know that you are the Almighty God. Lord God, I lift up nations and our presidents, Lord God, and those that are in authority and leadership positions, Heavenly Father. We know that we are nothing apart from you, Lord God. Help us just to be mindful of that. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of prayer. I thank you that we can come to your throne of grace at any given time, Lord God, and just make our requests known to you, Lord God. We thank you that you first loved us, Heavenly Father, that it's nothing that we do or that we say, Lord God. Lord God, just open the eyes of our heart, Lord God, because we want to see you, Lord God. We want to be strengthened in the gift that you have given us, Lord God, so that you can get the glory. Heavenly Father, we want to just operate in our gifts, Lord God, so that there's peace and love all throughout this earth, Lord God, that we are the light and the salt of this earth. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you that you hear our prayers, Lord God. Heavenly Father, I lift up those that are sick and that are shut in hospitals and institutions. Be Jehovah Rapha over them. Lord God, those that did not speak or say a spoken prayer request, Lord God. Lord God, we lift them up to you. Any unspoken prayer request. Lord God, you know what it is if we have a need before we do say anything. And most importantly, God, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for the sake of our sins. Lord God, we thank you that we are reconciled, Lord God. We thank you that there is remission and that there is no salvation without the shedding of blood. And we just thank you that we, by his stripes, we are healed. Most gracious Heavenly Father, there's so much on my heart that I want to pray for, Lord God. But I just thank you that you know all things, Lord God. I thank you for the moving of my limbs, Heavenly Father, and for the vocal cords and Lord God, I just thank you that your mercies are renewed every day, Heavenly Father. Lord God, I just thank you that you can touch the heart and the mind of a person that's schizophrenic or narcissistic, Lord God. I thank you that you know everything happens for a reason, Lord God. You know, most importantly, that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. So those of us that are struggling, Lord God, those of us that have family members, Heavenly Father, just continue to embed in us and put in us, Lord God, what thus saith the Lord. Because it's not what he say, it's not what she say, but it's what thus saith the Lord. Heavenly Father, cover the post of our house, Lord God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your protection, Lord God, as we slept at night. Lord God, your word teaches us in Psalms that we lay down and slept and awake, for the Lord sustained us, Heavenly Father. We thank you that we was on the wake-up list. We thank you that you come by and shook our bed, that it wasn't the alarm clock. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the almighty, most merciful God, Lord God. It's nothing that we do. It's nothing that we say, Heavenly Father. I thank you that we can assemble on this line, Lord God. I thank you that we can worship and praise you without persecution, Heavenly Father. Lord God, we thank you that we can operate in Romans 1:16, for we are not ashamed of the gospel, Lord God. Heavenly Father, I love you, and I thank you that your mercies is renewed, Lord God. I thank you that we can just say hallelujah, which is the highest praise,
And as we begin to take our phones off mute and begin to worship you, Lord God, we are in awe of you. We are ever grateful that you first loved us. We thank you, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit can roam ever so freely, that nothing is too big or too small for you, and that you are everywhere. And we just worship you because you are God alone.
Oh, how wonderful is your name, Lord God. Thank you,
Lord
God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, God. Lord, I pray that you will reveal any fear we have about you. Lord God,
we don't
know what
to
say. Lord, let us stand in that. And strengthen us in our way, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, we bless your name, Lord God. You are mighty and awesome and worthy.
Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to your name, God.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And because we love you and we know that you are always with us, Lord God, we say thank you. We honor you with our lives, Lord God. Give us the strength and the capacity to continue to do so, that we can do it unafraid, because you are the source and the strength of our lives. We love you, God. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. As I pass the call back. Thank you, Jesus, and amen.
Amen, amen. At this time, I'd like to open the call up for those who may have called in late who would like to say good morning.
Good morning, it's Gwen.
Good morning, Gwen.
Hey, good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
Good morning, this is Catherine.
Hi, good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, it's Diane.
Good morning, it's Yvette.
Good morning, Yvette.
Good morning, this is Diane.
Good morning.
Good morning, it's Diane.
Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Diane. Good morning, family, Sister Dee Dee.
Good morning, it's Dee Dee.
Good morning, Miss Dee Dee.
Hey, sis.
Good morning, Dee Dee.
Good morning,
Pamela. Good morning, this is Kedra.
Good morning, Kedra.
Good morning, it's Juliet.
Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, it's Aisha.
Good morning, Aisha. Okay, well, I'm going to go on and move on into the discussion this morning. Thank you all for calling in. It's truly a blessing. I know we thank Dion for starting the call, but the call would not be possible if you did not call in each morning and, you know, just really bless us with your sound. But this time I want to open the call up for a discussion. I will pose a couple of questions. You don't have to necessarily stick to the questions, just however the Lord leads you or whatever you choose to discuss at this time. But I want to ask if there's anyone who has found themselves going through a situation where they have dealt with the immense fear, anxiety, or depression.
Good morning, Miss Dee Dee. I'll go ahead and share, because that's how you get delivered and go to healing, when you share your own stuff, right? But thank you. As you were speaking this morning, I was listening to you talk about the anxiety and anxiety and how, if you're not careful, the depression and all that can come. You were talking about the phobia. So I was listening to that, and I share this week as well, so I have to, it's a lot, fear not, I'm so grateful again that we are doing topics and subjects, and so we can have a whole month to really, as different declarers share, it's amazing how we have our own different experiences and stuff, so I thank you for how you brought it, and one thing that really made me really sit up is that isolation. And I think sometimes believers don't want to use the word depression and all of that, but it's real. And so whether or not it's a life changes, because that's what happened, I think, for me, you know, not really being prepared when I retired, whenever, 2015, at 47 years old, that anxiety that started to creep in almost caused that depression to get strong, and, you know, and then I do have bouts of isolation, because I've learned that it's almost best to deal with stuff by yourself, if that makes any sense, so that I'm not a Debbie Downer, or if I'm going through things, I kind of want to deal with it myself. And sometimes it's best not to share too much, you know, because that way people love to give you opinions, people love to advise you. And sometimes I've learned that it's best to just kind of work it out between me and God and try to cast that fear down, because it's easy when you're dealing with what, you know, when your finances change or whatever it is, if you aren't careful, the enemy can get in and that fear will set in, and then you start worrying, and that's not what God wants for us. So when situations change, for me, I'm learning to embrace it, ride it out, because he is Jehovah Jireh. He's done it before. He'll do it again. But also not to allow that fear to turn into anxiety and depression, because that's when the enemy gets you off by yourself, and then you really are severely depressed. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense? And then you're anxious and all of that, and then you start, like you were saying, people are reaching out, but you are battling, so you're not communicating like you used to, and that's how you give the devil a foothold. So I hope something I said, my coffee kicking in, can't you tell, made sense. I love you, sis, and thank you for your share.
I love you, too. No, it made total sense. Absolutely, and that's kind of the way I felt, was that, oh, I can handle this on my own. I really don't want to share people. You know, I've kind of come up from a generation of, you know, you don't tell the secrets. Like, you don't tell anybody what's going on in this household. Like, you keep it quiet. Like, nobody knows what's happening in your household. And so I've always try to deal with situations on my own, you know, just trusting God and, you know, believing that he will see me through it. And, you know, what I've learned over the last few weeks is that, you know, in really sharing, you know, I find deliverance in sharing and, you know, just being transparent. And, you know, letting people know, it's kind of like, you know, the more, like, almost like when you sin, you know, it's kind of like when you're quiet about that sin, you don't tell anybody about that sin, and you think if nobody knows you sin, that you didn't really sin. And so it's almost that kind of mentality I don't know if that was a good example, but, you know, just exposing yourself to others. And clearly you need to use wisdom on who you open up to, who you share with, because you honestly cannot share with just anybody, everybody.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking too, because Dion always says secrets that keep you sick, or, you know, and it is some stuff we need to share, because if you're going through something and keeping it to yourself, how is anybody that can possibly give you wisdom or even help you, you know, because a lot of times when you're going through something, there's somebody within our family that may have, you know, some sort of resource or something. So it's not always good to keep stuff to yourself. But again, wisdom is good. So thank you, sister.
Thank you.
Hey, good morning. It's Gwen. I think those are some really wise words that both you and Dee Dee shared, having gone through 3 years of depression with all the anxiety and all the stuff that comes with depression. I love what a pastor I heard say. I don't think it was on television. I'm not sure, some TV evangelist said, be careful about who you bleed around. You know, like if you're in the ocean and you're bleeding, what's going to happen? The sharks come, right? So it's important to use wisdom as to who you share with. I was blessed to have Juliet to walk with me through the full 3 years of my depression. And the good news about her is that she had to let me know that, you know, like I'd wake up at 3 a.m, 4 a.m, couldn't go to sleep, was trying to take Benadryl, whatever, to put myself back to sleep. And she kept telling me, Gwen, the Lord wants to be alone with you, and you keep ignoring it. And it took 3 whole years for me to really hear her. And I got alone with myself for 2 weeks by myself. I faced my fear of being alone, and I sat there. Instead of going to a psych hospital or taking psychotropic medications, and I'm not against that if somebody needs that, but instead of doing that, I sat for 2 weeks by myself talking to the Lord, and he, like, it was like instant deliverance. So, you know, three whole years of that without, you know, understanding. And it's like the transformation of a caterpillar into a butterfly. You know, you are in that dark place, and when he brings you out, you somebody else. It's like being born again. So, you know, it's all good. You know, he said all things work together for good for those who love him. And I praise God. You got to be careful about who you listen to. Even those that sound passionate and they sound like they love you, and they do love you, but they're coming out of their heart, and sometimes it's not from the Lord. So you have to be real careful about who you listen to when you're going through. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah, I tend to be the one who, I mean, I've never been big on medication, and I probably have the most medication that's been prescribed to me for health reasons, and I still don't take them half the time. But I'm always trying to look for, you know, natural ways of healing, being healed. And so definitely the Word of God is probably the number one source that I go to. But even in the midst of that, like I said, I found myself going through, and it's, you know, been because of health issues that kind of got me into this depressed mood that I've been going through. And like I said, I found by me opening up to people God directs me to open up to, that it has brought about healing. You know, I was sharing with one of my sisters, and, you know, never even knew she dealt with it, you know, because, like I said, that's kind of the way we grew up. You don't talk about nothing. So, you know, half of us living in the same household don't know what the other person's doing. And so I had no clue that she had, like, gone through it, battled with it for over 5 years of her life. And, you know, to have her, you know, share with me, you know, insight on, you know, how she has dealt with it and come through it on the other side, was really, you know, just a joy to, you know, just, you know, be able to talk to my sister about something like that, and to, you know, be able to open up with her and trust her with what I was going through.
To add, you know, menopause is a monster too. And I think we need to start some kind of group, because those OBGYN doctors want to assign psychotropic medications to something that is hormonal. And I just think that it just, we women need to start a club or something, because, man, that ain't no joke.
Yeah.
No, really. Menopause ain't no joke. When you 99.9% hormone, estrogen, and it all leaves, oh, my God, you feel like you're crazy.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of a lot of what I'm battling. It's kind of a combination of, you know, personal health issues that I'm dealing with, but then in addition to that, you know, the menopause has just been kind of like amplifying it by like 10,000.
Mm-hmm. Don't ignore it. It's real.
Is there anyone else who'd like to share? Maybe there was something that I said that you have a question about, or maybe you'd like me to expound on something, or maybe you would like to share your own testimony on maybe how you were able to combat anxiety or fear or depression. Like I said, I really was surprised how all three kind of go hand in hand, and it did not surprise me how over and over and over it, throughout the entire Bible, God was constantly saying, you know, don't be anxious, don't worry, don't, you know, fear, you know, fear not. And so it's all kind of go hand in hand, and it all goes back to our mind and allowing our mind to overtake us.
Hey, Pam, it's Juliet.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Gwen, I totally agree with you about the menopause. Man, I'm going through it right now. Speaking of depression, I just can recall just as a kid, you know, always being depressed. I remember just thinking about not wanting to be here. That was my constant thought. I was thinking about all the time. I just didn't want to be here. I understand why I had to be here. And, you know, I contemplated suicide more than, you know, constantly thought about that, dabbled, you know, but then I was too afraid to do it. Thank God for that. But I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the people that he put in my life that, you know, made me question if he existed, that led me on that journey to find him. And I'm so glad I found him, because as soon as I found him and embraced him, and, you know, allowed him to come into my life, then it was just like a weight that just dropped off me. You know, it was the spirit that had been following me all my childhood just dropped. And, you know, I've gone through things throughout my life, of course, dealing with my first marriage. And, you know, of course, it was the loss of my parents that had me running to God. But, it was the loss of my parents that, you know, caused me to constantly, to look at God, to take a second look at God and, you know, to run towards him. And, you know, it was the best decision I made, because my life has not been the same. And I go through those bouts of depression, you know, but it doesn't last, because, I pull out that journal and I begin to talk to God. That's the way I talk to God. I just, you know, just pour my heart out to him. And it just seems like when I'm able to free myself and, like, talk to him, I know he's my father. He's my best friend. You know, it just seems like within days it's gone, you know. But I remember, like, it following me at a point in my life where that depression followed me. And I really feel like, you know, sometimes we pass that spirit of depression on to, we don't realize it. My mom was a really depressed woman, and it caused her to drink. But we don't realize that we pass that, you know, you can pass that gene on to your children, because I noticed that, like me and my sisters, we all suffer with that. And, you know, even that spirit of suicide. But I thank God today that they've come to the Lord, you know, and I'm seeing, you know, changes. I just wanted to just share that, you know, the best remedy that I found is Jesus, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, it's like, if he doesn't, you know, a lot of times he does, you know, we dive into his word, but if you can't even get to his word, he'll send somebody. You know, he'll send somebody to call you and check on you, or, you know, just little things he does that let you know I'm here, you know, and I'm sending you one of my, one of your brothers or sisters, one of my children to comfort you at this time. So, yeah, just thank God for him.
Thank you so much for sharing. You're absolutely right. Ultimately, like I said, even just looking through the scripture, you know, it all goes back to Christ Jesus, and, you know, knowing whose you are, and that, you know, he will and is ultimately able to bring us through every circumstance in our life. You know, like I said, recently I was dealing with this anxiety, depression. Like I said, I didn't really know what it was. I was just going through all of these emotions that, you know, I had not really dealt with before. I knew a lot of it was kind of health related and dealing with some health issues. And as a result of the health issue, I knew that it was kind of affected by that. And what really surprised me is that, you know, they gave me this survey to fill out. And as I, after I filled it out, they gave me, they sent me out the results of the survey, and, you know, showing that I was having moderate to severe anxiety and depression. And, you know, I was just really surprised because as I read the results, I was just surprised because things that I was doing every day were the cause of it. And, you know, from, you know, being a people pleaser, doing, you know, and as I was reading the results, I was surprised that the report was showing specifically everything that I was doing. And I was like, how did they know that? Like, how did they know based on what I scored on this survey or this, you know, test that they had me do? It was just really interesting to see how they were able to, you know, kind of get to the bottom. And what I was reading, you know, and the things that it was saying, you know, made me realize, you know, I do isolate myself. I do this. I do, you know, I am focused on other people and not my own health or my own self. And, you know, it just kind of wakes you up to, you know, what, like I said, when you really focus on the Word of God and focus on His Word, you know, you don't have that opportunity to constantly find yourself going down the path of pleasing other people or doing everything for other people, you know, because you're focusing on God and you're focusing on the Spirit of God and what He tells you to do and what He instructs you to do and not what somebody tells you to ask you to do, or not trying to please somebody but trying to please Him. And so it was just interesting as I was reading through the report, you know, a lot of behaviors that I had dealt with my whole life, I had no idea that these behaviors were now being the very cause of, you know, me going through or experiencing such extreme emotions. Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I had that same test. You know, Kaiser gives you that test, you know, and then they, of course, they decide you're depressed, you have anxiety, like stuff you didn't already know. But the thing is, I think the word, focusing on the Word of God is good, but I was full of words. So it was the relationship I didn't have with Him, you know, that personal relationship with Him. I think, you know, coupled with the Word makes the power, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I just like I'm talking to you, I got a chance to just run my mouth to Him, and it just, man, yeah, that makes a difference, just to be able to just be you, because He already know you, and just to be able to talk to Him like He's your friend, like He's your father, like He's your doctor, like He's your psychiatrist, whatever you need Him to be, you know? And
right.
You know, because I could word all day long. You know, I hear people speak word all day. I could pray the Word so good and won't have a bit of relationship with Him. You know. Anyway, I don't know if that makes sense.
You're absolutely right. It is definitely. It's a combination. They go hand in hand. It's not just the Word, but it definitely goes hand in hand. You know, when you're meditating on the Word of God, you can't help but to be consumed with Christ Jesus and speaking with Him and meditating on Him and what He is to you and who He is to you. But I think what surprised me was that, you know, yeah, you're right. I am in the Word. I know the Word, you know, like the back of my hand, and to think that I would be suffering with something like this, or, you know, dealing with something like this, or just all the emotions that I've been going through, you know, we're not excluded.
you know, even the best of the best, you know, go through situations. And that's what I love about this call, is because, you know, we can be transparent. We can share what we deal with, what we go through, and it does, it's definitely freeing, and it's definitely an opportunity to help other people and to, you know, generate a conversation and to not, you know, feel isolated. And you're right, you could be reading the word, you know, all day and night, and if you don't have the relationship, it definitely can affect many things in your life. But you can have the relationship even and still find yourself going down a track that is not good for you.
But he takes us from glory to glory. The thing is, none of us have arrived. And whatever he uses to get us to that next level, it's all good. You know, like, and I love what Deanna says, and this is one thing that stayed in my mind throughout my depression was, you win if you don't quit. And so I think that's the important thing, is because he's transforming us. Even those of us that sound like we got it going on, he's still taking us to new levels, and he uses whatever he wants to bring us to those levels.
That's right. And that's, you know, you summed it up perfectly. That's what I'm basically trying to say. You know, we're not all at a point where we have already arrived. You know, we're constantly being renewed. We're constantly being, you know, like you said, from glory to glory, and he's constantly strengthening us day by day. And so even, you know, everybody might go through situations in life, but God, you know, because of him, he is our strength. He is the one who can keep us, and he's constantly renewing us, restoring us, filling us. Thank you so much, sister.
Pam, that's what I like too. I love about the Lord is that, like, to me, it sounds like, and we all get to this place where you can be so removed from yourself that you don't even know. You know, you think you're okay, you really don't know that you're not okay. And it's so good that God, you know, will allow situations to come up to let you see. Well, no, you may think you have arrived, but no, I haven't actually arrived. You know, because He has greater things for me, and I can't get stuck at this level. But sometimes it takes something, you know, for him to allow us to stumble into something or to feel a certain way that we go to him. We have to go back to the sister at the water, you know, and get refreshed, you know, replenished. And sometimes we can't see that. You know what I mean? It's like, and then we get to a place where, as Christians, where you feel like, sometimes that you're not supposed to have these emotions. You're not supposed to have, you know what I mean? You're not supposed to.
Right.
You know, it's like, and that's a ploy of the enemy, you know, because we see, as far as the word of God is, it's you know, all these all the human emotions, things that people go through is all in the word. You know, David was depressed at a certain point. And he's, you know, he said, yeah, well, I praise him. You know what I'm saying? He encouraged himself. So it's a part of life to go through these things, is not to get stuck there. We get stuck there when we focus on ourselves and not on God and not on the goodness of God, you know. And this
right.
I think that's what he's teaching us every day. You know, he's our source. You know, whatever we need, he's, you know, I don't know why lately it's been this, you know, he's the like he talked to the woman at the well. You know, if you drink of me, you know, you'll never thirst. So we have to constantly go to him to be replenished, to be refreshed. You know, and we get to that place where we begin to feel dry. You know, a lot of times the first thing we want to do, when spiritually you feel dry and you know, and our emotions are, you start getting depressed, the first thing we tend to do is like either go within, like, and that means isolate, or we go without, and then like Gwen said, we begin to talk to the wrong people because the enemy has. So you get to talk wrong.
Yeah, or you self-medicate and you drink.
Instead of going to, like, the source, like, God, you know, I'm here. What is he trying to say to me? Where am I with you? Why am I, you know, just begin to talk to him, to look at him like she was talking about before, to that relationship. And, you know, and that's what God wants. He wants us to be his friend. He wants us to be in relationship with him. He wants us to tell, even though he knows our deep, dark secrets and our, you know, our desires. And he knows all this stuff, but he wants to hear it, you know, just when you talk to your mate, or, you know, somebody that's close to you, a parent, you know, there's certain levels of intimacy that you just, you know, you have with that person. It makes you close. And that's the kind of relationship God wants with us. So sometimes situations, he may even set up situations to where you have to come to him to talk
to
him.
It causes us to draw to him, right. Yeah, you're right. I think that sometimes we go through situations so that we can come to him and be with him. But, you know, this morning, like I said, it was just laid on my heart to kind of come from a whole different perspective, you know, in terms of focusing on fear and anxiety and, you know, looking at, you know, what anxiety and depression is and, you know, those phobias that we have and ultimately, you know, to overcome them, you know, we're going to meet the Lord. You know, that relationship, his word, his, you know, to just really get focused on him more and not on the situation or the circumstance. And don't be in denial of it, you know, but call it what it is, you know, recognize it, but know who God is. And that he can heal us, he can deliver us, he can bring us through and out of whatever situation and circumstances that we go through.
I think that was, you know, that was a perfect, discussion that you came with today. Because, I mean, I'm looking around at the world, and if I'm focusing on what I'm, you know, if I wasn't a child of God, I was just focusing on what I hear from the news and everything, I would be consumed with fear. I wouldn't be able to leave my
house.
You know what I'm saying? And like you were talking about people, you know, committing suicide and these mass murders and all that kind of stuff, you know, that's anxiety, you know, at its peak, you know, and it's only because of the grace of God that I'm not, you know, concerned. I can remember as a, you know, young person not knowing the Lord and having those anxieties, you know what I'm saying, as a kid. So, you know, and then, you know, and all that stuff wasn't happening like it is now. So just think it's 10 times more stuff happening as an adult, you know, than when I was a kid. So I could just imagine if I wasn't with the Lord and I didn't have that peace of God, you know, and I'd understand that mercy and that compassion that follows me throughout the day. If I didn't understand that kind of stuff, you know, then, you know, I would be, like I said, consumed with fear. I probably wouldn't even want to leave my house. So this is very important. I mean, we definitely need to talk about this.
Is there anyone else who would like to share this morning? I'm going to wrap it up. I appreciate all of you who have shared this morning. Gwen and Dee Dee and Juliet and, you know, all of you who have really been led to talk and to share in the discussion. Thank you so much for your input, and we just really welcome each of you who are used by God to be utilized in these discussions.
So I just want to thank you all this morning. If there's no one else who has anything else, I'm going to go ahead and close us out in prayer this morning. Father God, we just come to you this morning thanking you, God, for who you are, God. We thank you, God, for how awesome you are. We thank you, God, for your strength that you provide us with day by day, God, for being our healer, our provider, God. God, I thank you, Lord, that even in the midst of anxiety and depression, God, you are ever-present, God. You said that you are our ever-present help in our time of need, God. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to be with each person on the call this morning, God. God, many may have been silent, who may be battling depressions or phobias or fears or anxieties, God. God, you know them. God, in your word says you know every hair on our head, God. God, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to minister to them, God, that you would bring people their way, God, that you would begin to speak into their lives, God. Most of all, God, that you would help them, God, to begin to build a relationship with you, God. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to be with us, God. Your word says that if we abide in you and your word in us, God, that you would be with us, God, that you would abide in us, God. So, God, I just pray, Lord, that you would abide in us this day, God. Abide in us as we go throughout this day, God, until we meet again tomorrow morning, God. We just praise you, we glorify you, and we magnify you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Love you all to life.
Amen.
Have a very blessed Monday. I don't know if the Marriage Matters is still going on, but if so, make sure you call back in at 6 o'clock this evening.
Yes, it will be on tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I love you, love. Have a great
day.
Have
an awesome day, everybody.
You too. God bless you.
Have a good day. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
God bless everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you.